Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Unzip, where we tear open the latest AI and ML research and figure out what actually matters. Before we dive in, a huge thanks to our sponsors, Ada, which bridges the gap between research and production AI, including their Glow compiler that turns research models into real-world inference at scale. Ago Consulting, pronounced Ago, your go-to for silicon development from AI chips all the way to full SoC design. And Zen Semiconductor, an umbrella company with a whole portfolio of silicon industry companies, including Ada for deploying AI at scale in any business. Today, we're unpacking five papers covering reinforcement learning for language models, AI agents in life sciences, common sense reasoning failures, visual compression for code understanding, and personalized coding assistance. Let's get into it. All right, paper one is called SAFOPD, Stable Advantage Fusion for On-Policy Distillation. And this one is really interesting if you've been following the reinforcement learning from verifiable reward space, RLVR for short. So here's the setup. When you train a language model with reinforcement learning using verifiable rewards, think math problems where you can check if the answer is right, you assign a single reward to the entire response. Every token in that response gets the same credit signal. It's coarse, but it works. On the other side, you have on-policy distillation, or OPD, where instead of a sparse reward, you score each individual token against what a stronger teacher model would have predicted. That gives you a dense, token-level advantage signal, way more granular. The natural instinct is to combine them. Dense token signals from distillation, plus the exploratory push from RLVR rewards. Sounds like a win-win, right? Except the authors found that just fusing these two advantages with a fixed coefficient causes something really bad. Entropy collapse. Entropy collapse, for those less familiar, is when your model's output distribution gets extremely peaked and narrow. It stops exploring. It basically becomes overconfident and rigid, which is terrible for generalization. The paper diagnoses two root causes. First, there's a magnitude mismatch. The two advantage signals operate on very different numerical scales, so one just bulldozes the other. Second, there's a sign conflict. Sometimes the two signals point in literally opposite directions for the same token, creating contradictory gradients. Their solution is what they call stable advantage fusion, or SAF. The core idea is to dynamically normalize and calibrate each advantage signal before combining them, so neither one dominates and conflicts are handled gracefully rather than destructively. They also introduce a mechanism to detect when the two signals are fighting each other, when they have opposing signs, and dampen the fusion in those cases to prevent the model from getting torn apart by contradictory updates. The results are pretty compelling. SAFOPD outperforms both pure RLVR and pure on-policy distillation on mathematical reasoning benchmarks, and crucially, it doesn't suffer the entropy collapse that kills the naive fusion approach. What I really like here is the diagnostic framing. The authors aren't just proposing a new method. They're explaining why the obvious thing fails, which gives you actual intuition you can use in your own training pipelines. For practitioners, if you're training reasoning models and you have access to a stronger teacher, this paper gives you a principled way to combine distillation with RL without watching your model's entropy crater. That's genuinely useful. Keep an eye on this one. Okay, paper two shifts gears completely. This is the EMBL AI Librarian, a life sciences knowledge layer for AI agents, and it's addressing a really practical infrastructure problem that doesn't get talked about enough. So the premise is this: the web is increasingly being accessed by AI agents, not just humans, and in life sciences specifically, biology, genomics, medicine, agentic pipelines are growing incredibly fast. Researchers are building agents that autonomously search literature, synthesize findings, generate hypotheses. The primary literature resource here is Europe PMC, which has over 40 million index records. It's a massive repository of biomedical papers. The problem? It was built for human researchers typing keywords into a search box, not for AI agents making programmatic queries. So every agent that wants to use Europe PMC has to learn the specific query syntax, issue multiple searches to triangulate what it needs, and then parse whole papers to extract the relevant bits. That's a ton of overhead, and it's the kind of brittle, bespoke work that doesn't scale. The EMBL AI Librarian is essentially a knowledge layer that sits between AI agents and resources like Europe PMC. It translates natural, agent-friendly requests into the appropriate back-end queries, handles the multi-step search orchestration, and returns structured, relevant information rather than raw papers. The system is built around the MCP protocol, that's the Model Context Protocol, an emerging standard for how AI agents communicate with external tools and data sources. By adopting MCP, the Librarian is designed to be composable with a wide range of agent frameworks. They also put a lot of thought into what useful means for an agent versus a human. A human can skim a paper and pick out relevant sentences. An agent needs structured, semantically rich chunks it can actually reason over. So the librarian does a lot of work in pre-processing and chunking the retrieved content. The evaluation focuses on whether agents using the librarian can answer LifeSense's questions more accurately and efficiently than agents hitting Europe PMC directly. And the answer is yes. Fewer tool calls, higher answer quality, less hallucination from the model trying to fill gaps with its own parametric memory. For AI engineers building agentic systems in biomedical or scientific domains, this is a concrete example of how purpose-built knowledge infrastructure dramatically outperforms general-purpose retrieval. The lesson generalizes way beyond life sciences. If you're building agents that need domain-specific knowledge, think hard about whether your retrieval layer is actually designed for agents or just bolted on from something built for humans. This paper makes that distinction vivid. Paper 3 is one of my favorites today because it exposes something genuinely concerning about how LLMs reason. It's called Would You Walk to the Car Wash? And it's about what the authors call salience bias. The setup: LLMs have gotten really good at complex reasoning, math, logic, multi-step problems. But the authors notice something weird. When you add certain kinds of irrelevant information to a common sense question, models completely fall apart. The specific vulnerability is this. Models have learned to prioritize explicit, salient conditions in the input, especially numerical values. If you put a number in a question, the model grabs onto it and tries to use it, even if it's totally irrelevant to answering the question correctly. The car wash example in the title is illustrative. Imagine asking whether someone would walk to a car wash. A common sense capable reasoner knows that car washes are typically drive-through services. You need a car. But if you add a distractor like the car wash is 0.3 miles away, the model fixates on the distance and starts reasoning about walking feasibility, completely ignoring the implicit physical prerequisite that you need a car in the first place. The authors formalize this as salience bias. The model's attention mechanism is hijacked by explicit, numerically salient distractors, causing it to sideline implicit background knowledge, the kind of physical world understanding that humans just take for granted. They build a benchmark specifically designed to probe this, with questions that require implicit common sense prerequisites alongside explicit numerical distractors. And they test a range of current LLMs. The results are pretty sobering across the board. Importantly, they investigate whether this is a fundamental architectural issue or a training data issue. The findings suggest it's heavily influenced by how models are trained to handle explicit conditions, essentially. The instruction following training that makes models good at following specs also makes them over-index on explicit content. They also test whether chain of thought prompting helps. It does a bit, but it doesn't eliminate the bias. Models can still get led astray even when they're explicitly walking through their reasoning. For practitioners building applications that require common sense reasoning, think customer service agents, planning tools, anything involving real-world physical scenarios, this is a red flag. Your model might be doing great on your benchmarks and failing silently on inputs with numerical distractors. The practical takeaway: audit your evaluation sets for this pattern. Be suspicious of numerical values and inputs that shouldn't matter, and consider adversarial testing specifically designed to surface salience bias. This paper gives you the framework to do exactly that. Paper 4 is Code Shrink, and this one's about making multimodal LLMs more efficient when they're reading source code as images, which is actually a fascinating approach worth understanding. So here's the premise. One way to feed code to a multimodal model is to render it as an image, like a screenshot of a code editor. This sounds weird at first, but it has a real advantage. You preserve formatting, syntax, highlighting, structure, indentation. The model sees code the way a developer actually reads it. The problem is that images are expensive. Multimodal models convert images into visual tokens, essentially patches of the image, and those tokens eat into your context window and inflate your compute costs. Code images are particularly wasteful because of two things: blank space from line breaks and indentation, and regions of code that are simply irrelevant to whatever question you're asking. Existing approaches try to handle this by scaling image resolution. Lower resolution means fewer tokens. Higher resolution means more fidelity. But that's a blunt instrument. You're either losing detail everywhere or paying full price everywhere, with no awareness of what actually matters. CodeShrink introduces adaptive visual compression. Instead of a fixed resolution strategy, it dynamically identifies which regions of the code image are semantically relevant to the current instruction and compresses the rest more aggressively. The system has two main components. First, a relevance-aware cropping mechanism that identifies which parts of the code are actually needed for the task at hand. Second, a blank region detection pass that finds and collapses white space that carries no information. What makes this particularly clever is that the compression is instruction-aware. If you ask about error handling, the model focuses visual resolution on exception blocks. If you ask about a function signature, that's where the fidelity budget goes. The same code image gets processed differently depending on what you're asking. The results show significant reductions in visual token count. We're talking substantial savings with minimal or no drop in task performance on code understanding benchmarks. In some cases, performance actually improves because the model isn't distracted by irrelevant code regions. For ML engineers working on multimodal applications, especially anything involving code review, documentation generation, or IDE integrations, this is directly applicable. Cutting visual token count translates directly to latency and cost reductions in production. The broader insight here is that adaptive content-aware compression will almost always beat fixed ratio compression for structured inputs like code. The structure of the input carries information about what's important, and you should be exploiting that. Last paper of the day, and this one hits close to home for anyone who's used a coding assistant for more than a day. It's fewer clarifications, better code, and it's about personalized ambiguity resolution across sessions. Here's the core problem. When you ask a coding assistant to do something, your request is almost always underspecified. Write a function to handle user authentication. Okay, but what framework? What error handling style? What naming conventions, JWT, or sessions? Current coding assistants deal with this by asking clarifying questions in the moment, which works, but it's annoying. And here's the key insight. If you've been using the assistant for a while, it should already know a lot of your preferences from your previous sessions. The ambiguity that comes up in your coding requests isn't random, it's personalized and recurring. You always prefer a certain error handling pattern. You always use a specific framework. You have consistent style preferences, and you've probably already resolved those ambiguities in past conversations with the assistant. So why does the assistant keep asking? Because most systems treat each session as a blank slate. No memory of what was disambiguated before. That's the gap this paper targets. The authors introduce a benchmark, and this is important because there was no good benchmark for this specific capability before that evaluates whether coding assistants can leverage cross-session history to resolve recurring personalized ambiguities without asking the same clarifying questions again. The benchmark includes a range of ambiguity types, stylistic preferences, framework choices, error handling conventions, and measures both disambiguation accuracy and the reduction in clarification requests when session history is available. They test several approaches to memory augmented code generation, including retrieval-based methods that pull relevant past resolutions and in-context methods that summarize user preferences. The results show that with access to resolved session history, models can dramatically reduce clarification overhead while maintaining or improving code quality. The failure modes are interesting too. Models sometimes overgeneralize from past sessions, applying a past preference to a context where it doesn't fit, and sometimes they under-retrieve, missing relevant past disambiguations because they're phrased differently. For teams building or evaluating coding assistants, this paper gives you both a new benchmark and a framework for thinking about personalization as a first-class capability, not an afterthought. The days of stateless code assistants should be numbered. The practical implication is pretty direct. If you're building internal coding tools, invest in a session memory layer, even a simple one. The productivity gains from not re-resolving the same ambiguities over and over are real. And this paper gives you the evaluation framework to measure whether your memory layer is actually working. All right, that's a wrap on five papers today, from stabilizing reinforcement learning fusion to building AI-native scientific knowledge layers to diagnosing salience bias in LLMs to adaptive code image compression to making coding assistants actually remember you. Genuinely good batch. Huge thanks again to our sponsors. Ada for making research to production AI deployment real with their Glow compiler. Ago Consulting, pronounced Ago, for expert silicon development from AI accelerators to Fulso AAZA Zen Semiconductor. The umbrella powering a whole portfolio of silicon companies, including Ada. If you want more like this, check out our sister show, Git News AI, in the Ada Podcast Network. They cover the latest in open source AI development, and it pairs really well with what we do here. Links to all five papers are in the show notes. If you found this useful, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It genuinely helps. Catch you next time on Unzip.